This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. Ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah. Ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah. Hayya 'alas salah. Hayya 'alas salah. Hayya 'alal falah. Hayya 'alal falah. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. La ilaha illallah.
إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونستهديه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدًا عبده ورسوله يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما أما بعد فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله وخير الهدى هدى محمد صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار. Indeed, all praise and thanks is due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Lord of the worlds. I bear witness that there is none worthy of worship except Him subhanahu wa ta'ala. And I bear witness that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam is his final messenger. So I guess just following on from the words that were mentioned prior to me coming here to the minbar, Muslims, we recognize the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's what defines you and I as a Muslim, knowing our Lord Rabbul Alameen. And the more you know about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the more you will find yourself having fear, trust, hope, tawakkul, reliance upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Our beloved Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam was quite sarih and explicit and clear with his companions, telling them that indeed I fear Allah more than any one of you. And from those reasons is that Allah tabarak wa ta'ala allowed him sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to have an understanding, a ma'rifah of who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is. As the Muslim, we think about the reality of who is Allah. If we think about the jibal, the nujum, the bihar, everything, seas, skies, earths, all of that is in praise of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. ولكن لا تفقهون تسبيحهم. However, you do not understand or comprehend how they praise and glorify Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but we know that they do. He is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Al-Hayyu Alladhi La Yamut, the ever-living who does not die, that He is Arhamur Rahimeen, the most merciful of anything that can be merciful. You and I can be merciful, but of course that is restricted. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the most merciful. He is Alladhi Biyadihi Al-Mulk Wa Huwa Ala Kulli Shay'in Qadir, that in His hands subhanahu wa ta'ala is the ownership of the dominion, the whole of the universe, and that He has ability over all things. He is the one subhanahu wa ta'ala who merely has to say kun fayakun, be and it is. Not something that needs time to reset itself, not something that needs time to grow. If Allah Jalla wa Ala commands it, be, it is. And He subhanahu wa ta'ala is Al-Wahid Al-Qahhar, the one, the irresistible subhanahu wa ta'ala. Wa ayyu hirman, and what a deprivation it is to any of the creation that they do not recognize this. Even those that they believe every single day that they are worshipping the one who created them, they believe that they are doing good. However, all of that is to no avail. All of it serves no benefit to them. For this reason, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commands us, فَعَلَمْ أَنَّهُ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ, that you should surely have knowledge. Have knowledge of who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is. وَاسْتَغْفِرْ لِذَنْبِكَ, and then seek forgiveness of your sins. So having knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not something merely a small matter. It is not something that you acquire in 5 minutes. It's not a theoretical knowledge. That knowing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is living by the methodology or by what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commanded you as a makhluq, as a creation, as some being that has needs from the moment that you wake up. From the moment you wake up is a proof that you were in need, because you needed sleep, that you needed rest for you to continue in the next day. You have a Lord, yunadik, subhanallah. You have a Lord who calls upon you every night, who is there asking me for forgiveness that I may forgive them. If the Muslim truly understands who their Lord is, that they will truly be living la ilaha illallah. And that your understanding of this kalima is so important. It is the foundation of absolutely everything. It is where everything starts. Raising your iman, having khushu' in your salah, in the days that you fast in the month of Ramadan, when you perform hajj, when you make the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, anything that you do in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the foundation of that is what? La ilaha illallah. That there is none worthy of worship except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu marra bi Talhat ibn Ubaidillah. Umar radiallahu anhu, he passes by Talhat ibn Ubaidillah, and he sees upon the face of Talha radiallahu anhu annahu thaqilan aw mukta'iba, that he is somehow feeling, looks down, there's something wrong with him that he can tell. He says, ma laka ya Talha? He said, what is the matter with you, O Talha? Has maybe your wife caused you to be distressed or to feel down? He says, no, Umar. Inni sami'tu Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that I heard the messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam hadith, and that he said something. وَمَا مَنَعَنِي أَنْ أَسْأَلُهُ إِلَّا عَنْهُ إِلَّا الْقُدْرَةَ عَلَيْهِ عِنْدَ الْمَوْتِ. He said, I wasn't able to ask him the finishing or the completion of what this phrase was because of the situation that he was in, alayhi salatu wasalam, until he passed away. That he said, Talha radiallahu anhu, he said that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, إِنِّي لَأَعْلَمُ كَلِمَةً لَا يَقُولُهُ عَبْدٌ عند موته إلا أشرق لها لونها ونفس الله عنه كربة. Another رواية: إلا كانت له نورا لصحيفته وأن جسده وروحه لا يجدان لها روحا عند الموت.
That there is a word, a statement, that if a slave says this at the time of their death, that they will find a comfort. They will find a comfort, not the just themselves, but their bodies and their souls. A removal of all problems in your mind, and they will find this raha at the time of death. He said, I didn't know what the completion of that sentence was. What is this kalima? And so Umar radiallahu anhu, he says, Inni la'a'lamu mahi. I know what that word is. I know what that word is. If you say it, you will have this virtue and this blessing at the time of death. And he says, what is this word? He says, Umar radiallahu anhu, La ilaha illallah. Talha radiallahu anhu, he says, Sadaqt. Hiya wallahi hi. He said, by Allah, that is the word. So what does it tell us? This tells us, and amongst the many ahadith about the virtues of saying La ilaha illallah, that if at the time of death, the abd has the ability to say this at the time of death, they will have this blessing. That their bodies and their souls will find a raha, that they will find a comfort like no other. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself testified, La ilaha illallah. That there is no one worthy of worship except Allah. And the many debates, the many conversations that we see, many of it is surrounding peripheral issues. Issues which are not the foundation of all matters. And then you find the conclusion of many of the discussions really peter out to nothing. The Muslim, whenever they are conversing about the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when you're talking about the haqq, always go back to the foundation of why we are here. And that is to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone. That no prophet, no messenger came before, from the time of Adam alayhi salam, came except with this call of La ilaha illallah. وَلَقَدْ أَبْعَثْنَا فِي كُلِّ أُمَّةٍ رَسُولًا. That we sent to every nation a messenger. What was this call? أَنْ اِعْبُدُ اللَّهَ وَاجْتَنِبُ الطَّاغُوتِ. To worship Allah alone and to avoid all false deities. This was the sole reason that the messengers were sent to the khalq, sent to the creation to remind them of their purpose. And shaitan is haris, he is keen for you to indulge and be busy with other things. So it is a statement that you will benefit from at the time of death. It is a statement that you will benefit on Yawmul Qiyamah. And because of the time, we don't have the ability to go through all of these ahadith, which are so beautiful, about the heaviness, about the weight of saying La ilaha illallah. We know that Musa alayhi salatu wasalam and Nuh alayhi salam, Musa alayhi salam asked Allah Jalla wa'ala for a specific dua, a specific supplication that he would be able to say by himself. Nothing greater to be said than what? La ilaha illallah. Nuh alayhi salam on his deathbed, giving a wasiyyah, an advice to his sons at the time of death, about two things to be commanded with and two things to be forbidden. The forbidden, الشرك والكبر, shirk and arrogance. The first command is what? Is to know that La ilaha illallah, if that was placed on the scale on one side, and that everything else in this universe was placed on the other side, that La ilaha illallah would outweigh that. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on Yawm al-Qiyamah, by the shafa'ah, by the intercession of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, not after the first or second or third, that the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam will go back to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala on Yawm al-Qiyamah, interceding on behalf of his ummah, asking people to be saved on the Day of Judgment. And in the long hadith of al-Shafa'ah, the fourth time that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam goes back to Allah jalla wa ala and prostrates in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is told to raise your head, intercede, and your intercession will be accepted. And that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam calls upon Allah tabarak wa ta'ala for those who said la ilaha illallah to be taken out of the hellfire. Those who were placed in the hellfire because of the lack of good deeds that they had. But the intercession of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, asking for his ummah to be saved, that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala will save certain individuals because they said la ilaha illallah. And the famous hadith of al-bitaqa, that maybe we don't again have time to go through in its entirety, that a man will come on yawm al-qiyamah, the hadith narrated by Abdullah ibn Amr radiallahu anhuma, that a man, he is called on the Day of Judgment and he is shown his deeds, and his deeds are written on 99 scrolls, 99 sijilla. Each one of those scrolls is madd al-basar, as far as the person can see, 99, as far as he can see. On those scrolls his deeds are shown, shortcomings, a taqseer, didn't do this, didn't do that. So it is said to him, أَتُنْكِرُ شَيْئًا مِّنْ هَذِهِ, do you disagree with anything that has been said here, or anything has been written down for you here? The person has no excuse but to say, I can't argue with anything that is written there in front of me. So the person, this individual, no doubt will feel at a loss. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminds this individual, لَا ذُلْمَ الْيَوْمِ, that there is no oppression and no injustice on this day. Did the angels, did they write something that's not correct on your scrolls? They wrote everything down. The malaika, they wrote everything down. كِرَامًا كَاتِبِينَ. You may have forgot what you did a few days ago. What you did last week doesn't mean that you didn't do it. You forgot what you did last year. Remember that you fasted one day this week. You fasted, inshallah ta'ala, one day on the day of Arafah. And that for that, you can receive the forgiveness of 2 years of your minor sins. The exchange there cannot be fair. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is arhamar rahimin. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to have mercy upon you, wants you to turn back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this individual is then asked, hal laka udhur, you got an excuse? Hal laka hasanatun for you have a rajul, you got, anyone can give you any hasanat? He says, I got nothing else. The person sees themselves in complete loss. What is the outcome for this person? He sees himself, no injustice today. The hellfire is my destination. The person is prepared. But then it is said, فَتُخْرَجُ لَهُ بِتَاقَةً فِيهَا, and that this bitaqa, this card if you like, is taken out. And all upon this bitaqa is what? The testimony of faith of this person. This person, they said, أَشْهَدُ أَنْ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهُ وَأَشْهَدُ أَنَّ مُحَمَّدًا عَبْدُهُ وَرَسُولُهُ. This person upheld that kalima. And so all of these scrolls are placed on one side of the mizan. And this bitaqa, this card of the shahada, is placed on the other. And so the bitaqa of La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah outweighs all of those misdeeds that that person did. And so the person is saved. So how important it is for us to remember the meaning, the true meaning of La ilaha illallah. أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله لي ولكم من كل ذنب فاستغفروا إنه كان غفارا.
بسم الله والحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. All praise belongs to Allah Jalla wa Ala, and may the peace and blessings of Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala be upon His final messenger Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So the statement of La Ilaha Illallah is not merely lip service. It is not something that you just merely say and rely on that. And the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam made it very clear about what it means to say La Ilaha Illallah. And there was an amazing hadith. And I say this incident, it is an amazing incident, how the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam differentiated about a person when they say La Ilaha Illallah. The hadith is Itban ibn Malik radiallahu anhu. This companion, Shahida Badra, was a participant of Badr. And he is from the Ansar. And he is from Al-Khazraj radiallahu anhu. The first part of the hadith is that he mentions that his eyesight is disappearing. He's unable to see. He's unable to lead his people in prayer anymore. So he asks the Prophet ﷺ to pray in his house. So he has permission to pray in his home. And so the Prophet ﷺ says, I will come and I will pray in your home. The very next day, the Prophet ﷺ prays in the house of Itban ibn Malik radiallahu anhu. The people, they gather around the house. That Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam is praying in Fulan's house. Not next week, not a month later, the very next day. And so when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam offered 2 rak'ah, that this was a permission for you, after Salat al-Dhuhr, the people, they came round the house. And as they were looking around, they said, where is Malik ibn Dukhayshin? Another companion. Malik ibn Dukhayshin. Another companion who participated in Badr. One of them said, La arahu, I cannot see him. And then somebody shouted out, Innahu munafiq. He's a hypocrite. He gives his ear to the munafiqeen. I see him sitting with the munafiqeen. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, La taqul dhalik. Don't say that. Don't say that. Ala tarahu qal. Do you not see that Malik ibn Khayshan, he says, La ilaha illallah wa yabtaghi bidhalika wajha Allah. That he says La ilaha illallah, but he seeks by that statement the countenance and the face of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The munafiqun, they may say La ilaha illallah, لكن لا تفيدهم. It will not benefit them. But this companion, he says it from his heart. خَالِصًا مِنْ قَلْبِهِ. So there's a difference in a person who says merely La ilaha illallah, seeking what? And the person who says La ilaha illallah, خَالِصًا مِنْ قَلْبِهِ. Just as the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said to Abu Huraira. So there's a difference between the people when they say La ilaha illallah. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam praised the person who was not present, and he was far from nifaq. In fact, this individual radiallahu anhu was sent by the Prophet alayhi wasallam to participate in the bringing down of Masjid al-Dirar. So he was far from hypocrisy. But the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam testified that he said La ilaha illallah, and he sought Allah's countenance and face by that. So every single one of us, when we say La ilaha illallah, you do that khalisan min qalbik, that you do that sincerely and purely from your heart, with knowledge, in truth, with sincerity, in love, in truth. You say all of this knowing this particular statement. There is no greater honor than a person knowing La ilaha illallah. And there is no greater humiliation than a person who does not know La ilaha illallah, or a person who knows it and turns away from it. For not us not to be away from al-dhalin or maghdub alayhim. Something we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala every time in our salah. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala an yarzuqna ilman nafi'a. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala an nashhadu an la ilaha illallah min qulubina khalisan liwajhi Allah jalla wa ala. اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم أعز الإسلام والمسلمين، اللهم أعز الإسلام والمسلمين. ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار، وأقم الصلاة.